Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me where you are going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Take out your green hymnal, if you will, and turn to page 65 in the front part of your hymnal. And while you're doing that, I want you to think about something. Today, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, on all believers in Jesus Christ. But, apart from today, we Lutherans tend not to think too much about the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest with one another. You know, I think a good example of this we find in our Apostles' Creed. Okay? We look at it, and it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. It's one sentence, it's only one sentence, but there's a lot packed into that sentence, right? It's very practical, it's very powerful. We identify with God the Father. We understand God the Father. He created everything. He created us. When we think about the way we should be before the fall in sin, God's giving to us responsibility over His creation and what we've done with it. When we think about God's law, we think about God the Father, don't we? We don't have a problem with God the Father. God the Son, well, that's the big one for us, isn't it? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. There's a lot going on here. We give a lot of attention to God the Son. We give attention to God the Father. We give attention to God the Son. What does it say about the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, as you've gone through confirmation, you're told, of course, that everything that follows that applies to the Holy Spirit. It's describing the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. But practically, really, how much thought do you give to the Holy Spirit beyond I believe in the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is kind of the also mentioned of the Trinity. He comes up when we're praying and says, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit. It's always this, and the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, we tend as Lutherans not to give much attention, much thought to the Holy Spirit. Now, there are Christians out there who give a lot of attention to the Holy Spirit, who think about the Holy Spirit a lot. Often wrongly, but it's neither here nor there. Why don't we think that much about the Holy Spirit? Well, I think there are three reasons for that. First is confusion. Second, complacency. Third, context. Three C's to remember. Confusion, complacency, and context. Now the first one, well, that's neither good nor bad, it just is. And we're going to deal with that in a moment. Second one, well, that's bad. We don't think about the Holy Spirit. We tend to ignore the Holy Spirit because of sin. And yes, we're Lutherans, and we've got to admit, yes, we are sinners. But the third reason, context, is actually a good reason. There's actually a good reason why we don't think that much about the Holy Spirit. It's a justified reason. It's not a reason because we're sinners, but there's actually a good, sound reason why we don't think that much about the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we don't think much of. We just don't think about the Holy Spirit much. So let's deal with each of these one at a time. First, confusion. My Old Testament professor, Dr. Hilmer, likes to say, if you're reading a text and a word in that text is translated many different ways in many different translations, there's one thing you can be certain of. Everybody's confused. Now, one of those words occurs in our text for this morning. If you were following in your text, you probably caught it. Does anyone know which one it was? In the text, it says, but when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and will bear witness about me. That's what it says in here. But if you were listening carefully, that's not what I said. I said, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So here it says, Helper. I used the translation that Martin Luther preferred, Comforter. In other places, it's Advocate. So what do we know about this word? We know that it's confusing. The word is parakletos. And actually, the translation of that word is incredibly simple. It means the one called. That's what it means. The one called. So Jesus is going to send the one called. It's just not a very helpful title, is it? The Holy Spirit is the one called. Okay. For what? Why? To whom? Now, the connotation of this word is a little more filled with meaning. The one called is the person who is called at that moment of greatest need. That one called comes to your aid and helps you. Stands up before you and advocates for you, fights on your behalf, and comforts you in your pain and your sorrow. This is what it means to be the one called. So when Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit, he is talking about sending this one who will come to aid, who will come to advocate and fight and will come to comfort. So why did I use the word comfort instead of helper? Helper is actually the most generic one that kind of covers everything. Very simply because he didn't come to help you. Most people don't get that. Holy Spirit didn't come to help you. This is one of the nuances of that word, parakletos. It isn't the sent one. It's the called one. The implication is that the called one comes to help specifically the one who calls him. Who is the one who calls him? Jesus Christ himself. He comes to call. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to help Jesus, not you. Which is what leads us into our second reason why we don't think much about the Holy Spirit. Because we are complacent. We are. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are complacent. We like where we are. We're comfortable where we are. You don't need a comforter if you are comfortable, do you? And when we hear what the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit actually means, that comforter, well, he isn't all that comfortable. There's a piece I left out of here. It says that he will bear witness about me, and it also says, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. You heard that. Yes, so when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be bearing witness about Jesus. That's what it means. He's advocating for Jesus. But he's also going to send you out to do the same thing. Already we're out of our comfort zone, aren't we? We're uncomfortable. But what's the result of that sending out? This is the part I left out. It says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. This is uncomfortable. We're comfortable here. This is nice. But if we think about the Holy Spirit, if we give attention to the Holy Spirit, there's the possibility that we're going to get sent out there. And if we get sent out there, Christ has a promise for us. It will not be comfortable. This comforter does not seem to be bringing much comfort, does he? And what has he come to bring to the world? Well, it says that. It says that he comes to convict the world. Actually, I like the translation better, accuse the world. But he's come to accuse the world. Sorry, I lost my place. I got to find it again. He comes to accuse the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Ooh. Ouch. Does that feel comforting? So this Holy Spirit, this comforter who Jesus is sending, is not only going to put us in an incredibly uncomfortable position, the word he has for the world is likewise incredibly uncomfortable. These are words of accusation, of judgment, of the law. This comforter is not at all comfortable, is he? Much easier for us to stay in our comfort zone, to be right here. We come on Sunday, we hear that word, it's wonderful. We hear what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we go out and we try to be good people throughout the week, and that's okay. That's about it. We don't want to go much further than that, because if we go much further than that, it's going to get uncomfortable really quick. This is normal, human, sinful reaction to the presence of the Holy Spirit. The sinner in us says, I can't do that. It's too uncomfortable. So, we don't think much about the Holy Spirit because, well, the Holy Spirit confuses us, number one, yeah. Number two, the Holy Spirit, this comforter, makes us incredibly uncomfortable. What about number three, the context? To me, this is a big one. Why don't we think much about the Holy Spirit? Because we misunderstand what he's here for. He is actually a comforter. He really is. But you got to understand the context of the comfort. You got to understand why he came and who he came for and what is the purpose of his being here. Okay, I need an example here. I'm going to call upon someone. I think I'm going to call upon you, Larry. You read. You can. Okay. And we're going to give an example. Come on up. Come on up. Because I want you to see the look on his face. Okay. This example is about. No. I like the look on your face better. This example is about hugging. See? Okay. Hugging is a perfect... Not yet. Don't rush. Hugging is a perfect example of us in our comfort zone. Okay? I want to give you the example of three different kinds of hugs. I'm only going to ask you to demonstrate one of them. Okay? First is the hug of friendship. Okay? All right? Give me a hug. There we go. Come on. It's okay. Okay. See? Now, did you notice something there? The pat. The pat. This is an important signal. Okay? You can sit down. It's okay. The pat means we're done now. You've reached the limit of my comfort zone. If you go any further, it's about to get really weird. Right? And you can give a friendly hug, you can give a manly hug, as long as you understand that the moment that pat comes, you're done. Right? It's the hug of friendship. Okay? Number two is the embrace of love. I'm not going to show that. That's none of your business. It's the embrace that a husband and wife give each other, where you hold one another tight. When you put into the other all of the love and passion you have for them. Okay? Sometimes you can do that with your child. There's that kind of hug too, where you want to squeeze them for all they're worth. Those hugs tend to go on a little longer, don't they? But because of your close, important that connection you have with that one you love so deeply, that hug goes on. It can linger a little longer. You don't have to worry so much about the patent split, right? But there's a third hug. And it's a hug I hadn't thought about much recently. It's one that came to mind to me a couple weeks ago. See, when my brother passed away, we were in a hotel room in Gillette, Wyoming. My brother called, and it was obvious that everyone was just devastated there. So we needed to get there as quick as we could. But it took us 2 more days to make it there. And when we got there, my parents, they came running out. Sorry. And hugged me. This was not a hug of friendship. No 2 seconds pat and we're done. This was not an embrace of love, where we were sharing that mutual love with one another. This was an embrace of comfort. I know this because when my parents fell into my arms, they collapsed. It is this expression of utter helplessness when they can no longer hold themselves up and they need you to carry them. All of that gets communicated in this embrace. If you have experienced that kind of loss, then you know what I'm talking about. There is that moment of utter helplessness when you need that comfort. Your sorrow is complete and you can no longer stand on your own. And you need someone to hold you up. This is what it means to be a comforter. So, this Parakletos, this Holy Spirit who comes, this is the aspect of what Parakletos means that applies to you and to me. It is the one that comes to hold you up when you can no longer stand on your own, who takes your pain and your sorrow and your anguish into themselves until you can again stand. This is what it means to be the comforter. So why don't we think, that's a good image. It also explains, by the way, why the Holy Spirit comes to send us out into the world where we are anything but comfortable. It also explains why in our complacency, we don't think too much about the Holy Spirit. Because when you are comfortable, you don't need a comforter. It is only when you are supremely uncomfortable, when you are filled with sorrow and anguish and anxiety and pain, that you need a comforter. So the Holy Spirit sends us into the world where we experience hardship and pain and anguish and sorrow, and in that moment is there to hold us up, to comfort us in the midst of that sorrow. It is why the Holy Spirit proclaims that accusation of sin and righteousness and judgment to the world. Because it is only when you feel that judgment of your own sin, your inability to be righteous on your own, that you are prepared to hear that word of comfort, which is the gospel. Look at that cross. Look at this cross. While it has become an image of comfort, it is anything but comfortable. The image of the cross is the most uncomfortable image you could possibly imagine. In our modern day context, it's like me wearing an electric chair. That is an entirely uncomfortable image of death. But what brings comfort comes through that most uncomfortable of images. Jesus Christ brings us the forgiveness of sins, justification and righteousness from the Father, and the intervention, the advocacy in the face of that judgment. He brings us this word of comfort in the midst of all of that. And this is why we don't think much about the Holy Spirit. Because the comfort that the Spirit brings isn't Himself. Remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't come for you. He comes for Christ. He's the one who calls. That's the one He comes for. So, the word of comfort He brings is not His own word. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the supreme word of comfort. That in our pain and anguish and sorrow, we know that Christ suffered with us. Hurts with us. Died for us. So that we might have life everlasting. In the face of judgment, which comes through the law, there is the comfort of the gospel. This is the word of comfort that the Holy Spirit has come to speak to us. This is the same word He sends us out into the world to speak to the world, so that they might find that same comfort. We don't think much about the Holy Spirit. We don't think much about this helper, this advocate, this comforter. He has come. He has come for Christ. And in truth, as Christ has come for you, so has the Spirit. Amen. We will continue with the hymn of the day.